Welcome to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel. Maybe you know your Enneagram type, but what's next? Renee uses the Enneagram in conjunction with self-awareness practices to help people better understand the patterns of their type, including patterns of thinking, emotions, and behaviors. This show is highly interactive. Listen or call in to find out how to identify your type, and for those who do know their type, what can you do next to open yourself up to a greater capacity for personal transformation? We all have great strengths, sitting alongside areas that we need to strengthen. It starts with noticing your patterns. You'll begin to discern whether you need to step in and take action, or just sit back and observe. Learn how to dance between observation and participation, and watch yourself transform. Enneagram Conversations starts now.
Welcome to Enneagram Conversations. I am so excited today. We are going to be talking about the Enneagram Type 6, and I have two women who I adore today speaking with you about their type. So you are going to hear from the narrative of the type, Enneagram Type 6. I am Renee Siegel, your host, and so grateful to be with you, listeners and viewers today. I welcome Mira Rossman and Gigi Vizay. Mira has, I'm going to actually allow each of these ladies to introduce themselves. I've known both of them for quite a while. They've known about their types for a while, and they're both into and doing a lot of really and exciting things. So Mira, would you like to start off and tell our viewers a little about yourself and what you're up to?
Sure. My name is Mira Barbara Rossman. I tend to use Mira more often, but it is a name that has sort of arrived in the last 11 years. I started off the spiritual work in the middle, early 90s. And at that point, I was drawn to the Enneagram. I took a test on the Enneagram and was able to determine my type fairly easily, and realized that I was a phobic type six, or that I resonated with that energy. My husband and I have the Institute for Inner Growth, which offers some classes for self-awareness and growth. And I also do a monthly dream group that I really love. That's my great passion. And it has a Jungian flavor to it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And Gigi.
I'm Gigi Vizay. I am a psychotherapist in private practice. I specialize in trauma, codependency, self-esteem, and my greatest passion and expertise is in grief and loss and helping those navigate healing after a traumatic loss. I typed myself actually with the help of Renee, and she introduced me to the Enneagram. I use it within my practice and in my personal life. And that's me.
Yeah, and you have an exciting book out, and we're going to get to that. But in this particular segment, I want to talk about just coming to understand your type and that whole journey to finding your type, because some listeners and viewers will know their type. Some may find it relatively easily and others not. And Mira, it sounds like your journey to finding your type may not have been arduous or difficult to determine. But as I recall, Gigi, we were looking at a couple of different types. And so for those people out there who are kind of looking at their at more than one type and haven't landed on a type, could you talk specifically about the richness of just kind of growing a self-awareness until you do land on type? What happens in that journey? Because some people are really frustrated by that.
Yeah. I found it really fascinating. So when you introduced it to me, and I'm a test taker. I like to know more and more about myself and about the other people in my life. And when I first took the test, and I took it several times, and there was the possibility of 6 and the possibility of 3, and I kind of vacillated with that for quite a while, and began to read more about both of these types and notice in my life how some of these characteristics were operating for me. And it helped me get closer to deciding it and really settling on that I am a 6. And I was comfortable with being in the limbo, you know, and just, it was just kind of like an adventure. It's like I'm learning more about myself. And, but it was also nice to settle in and say, okay, this is me, or at least this is the strongest characteristic of me is the type 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Renee, I would like to say something too. Even though the test sort of revealed so many things that I had already observed in myself, I found that I had doubt for the next 20 years, which is one of the characteristics of the 6. And every time, I mean, I have a strong connection to 9. And so, and then also the warmth and affection of the subtype of the type 6, it also afforded me the possibility that maybe I was a 2 instead. But so I vacillated many times throughout the years. And I think I've just sort of landed on it since I became certified in 1995. And I have just landed on my type. I know I'm a type 6 for sure. And that has only been probably in the last 7 to 8 years that I say yes, without doubt.
That's so funny. And doubt, and we'll see the role that doubt plays in this particular type. And but you both brought up a really important point, and that is for most of us, our favorite topic, whether we're willing to admit it or not, is ourselves. You know, it's the thing we know the most about, and sometimes it's the thing that we know the least about in terms of how other people perceive us. That's a possibility. But self-awareness and this idea of growing self-awareness or knowing ourselves better can be a very relaxing feature when we're taking an Enneagram journey, because, you know, if we're willing to know ourselves better and grow our self-awareness, then that's a process. There is no destination in that until we take our last breath, I would imagine, and maybe beyond. Who knows? Nobody's really talked to us, right, about that. But this idea of knowing ourselves and relaxing into that and not fretting about fitting into a type is really important. And it's one of the things that the Enneagram offers. I mean, you hear people often say, I don't want to be placed in a box or given a number. And then, of course, the typical Enneagram practitioner response is, no, you are already in the box. We're just giving you information about how to get out of the box, right? But let's talk a little bit more about that box, about other personality typology systems and how the Enneagram may be different or richer or fuller, more comprehensive. Any thoughts?
I don't have a whole lot of experience with other things other than the MBTI, and I really don't have a full experience of that. So I have learned so much through the Enneagram itself that I keep learning every day. In fact, I uncovered some shadow material not too long ago that I was really unconscious of, and yet it really has helped me in understanding how others hear what I say.
Mm-hmm. And shadow material might be one of those things that might not be evident in other personality typology systems.
Yes.
Yeah. Spirituality may be not an available consideration for other personality typology systems. How about you, Geej? If you're a test taker, what have you test taken?
Well, it's been a long time since I've done any other types of personality testing. The MMPI and, you know, what color.
Yeah, color true colors.
Yes, your color. And I'm a Scorpio woman, and that you know, even things like that intrigue me because it tells me something about myself. Mm-hmm. Or having my astrological map read and things like that. Mm-hmm. Probably the most recent and last thing I've really looked at is the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah so these patterns, we know, one of the things that we're going to talk about when we come back from break is this, the patterns that we have in these centers of intelligence, the three centers of intelligence, which are patterns of thinking and patterns of emoting through the heart center and patterns of actually reacting through the belly center. But there is an essential quality that is part of each type. And all of those things, when we begin to think about having a spiritual aspect of ourselves, a way of really recognizing patterns of thinking and emoting and reacting, I don't know that there's any system out there that really gives us a map to take a look at those kinds of things about ourselves. What would you say to someone who might be interested in growing their self-awareness and trying the Enneagram? What would you tell them?
Go ahead, Judy.
I would say there's an opportunity to enrich your life, to enrich your understanding of yourself and other people and how you connect to them. I find it really helpful in my work and connecting and with my clients and finding the ways that they're going to most relate to being motivated to understand themselves and grow and do things.
Mm-hmm. I think there are many spiritual teachings that I have been come in contact with, and I really feel that the Enneagram is a spiritual tool. It is something that can really enhance the spirituality that is learned in other teachings, and it affords the continued awareness and growth through observing self and how I impact other people, as well as what goes on in my inner thoughts, what motivates me, what attracts me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Thank you ladies so much. After a break, we'll talk about some assets and challenges and characteristics of each type. I am Renee Siegel. I thank you for tuning into Enneagram Conversations. We will be right back.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome back to Enneagram Conversations. Today, I am privileged to have two wonderful women joining me, Mira Barbara Rossman and Gigi Visay, both who identify with the Enneagram Type 6. And in this part of our show, we're going to be talking about various characteristics of the Type 6 so that each of you can feel into because all of us have some aspects of every type. So if I were to say, have you ever second-guessed yourself? I would imagine most people out there would say, yeah, I have sometimes had problems making a decision. But we might find that this particular type does more of that than we typically might do in our everyday life, and it might be part of their personality structure and characteristics. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Gigi first. Why don't you kick us off and talk about what particular characteristics could you identify with when you heard about this type?
I think I strongly identify with the skepticism of the six. I've always been slow to let people in. Sometimes, you know, just like I need to check people out pretty well. You know, I'll be a quiet observer for a while. And I guess that plays into the whole idea of safety and security, right? Mm-hmm. And so that has been, and that includes making decisions, that I really take my time. I look at a lot of information, that I don't quickly jump into things, and so I relate to that, but I also really relate strongly to the loyalty of the Type 6. I think I am a true and loyal friend, and I am the person that's often known as the glue, you know, to relationships and keeping people connected. And the way I make commitments to myself and other people, or to my work or my passions, show up, I think, in that loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. Yeah. How about you, Mira?
Well, I think that when I was learning about it, I found myself aware that I avoid what I consider as dangerous situations, which falls under the category of unknown situations. So if I'm going to come on to the show, I've never done a podcast before. And so it's like feeling that nervousness feeling, and I just want to do it so that I can, it's a counterphobic slide that I can do, but I usually avoid these things as much as I can. And until since I've done a lot of work with myself, I'm more able to be in these situations and feel comfortable enough. That loyalty feature is really a big one. I know that I stay in situations with friends, sometimes longer than is really good for me. But I also have learned to trust my intuition, which I think a lot of it comes from the scanning ability, this automatic scanning that we do that affords us an awareness of interesting stimuli in others or in the environment itself. So that's something that is not exactly what it is it really attracts me. You know, if it doesn't, if somebody's actions don't meet their words, that will set up a distrust, perhaps. I know type sixes who have said one strike and you're out as far as a friendship. I don't ever feel that way. I've learned enough about people as well as myself to know that they're doing their lives and I'm just handling mine as best as I can. I know I don't like change that much. And yet I find that each and every time that I open to change, I grow, and it really brings me new, wonderful things, as well as a few surprises as well. I also have noticed that when I give, when I used to entertain a lot, and when I would entertain, I would think my way through the whole evening, anticipating what would be needed in the evening, you know. So I'm going to need the silverware and everything. I'm going to need this particular dish, and I'm going to need all this sort of stuff so that everything is planned for. And then when everybody arrives, I stop worrying about it, and it just flows. If I bump up against anything new or unexpected, I can flow through it. And that's the wonder of it all. It's like bringing yourself to the situation and just opening. And all of a sudden, all these solutions or help comes in. And it's very unexpected. There's a feeling that I have to do it myself.
I can relate to so much of what you just said, Mira. You know, starting with avoiding, and I've had many times where I've had to really push myself to, or push through a fear or my anxiety about things. And my brain is constantly thinking.
Yes.
I saw a healer in Bali, Indonesia, and I've seen several of them actually. And each one said the same thing to me. You always thinking. Mm-hmm. My brain is constantly going. There is a pen and pad by my bed. In fact, I wrote some notes of a new poem that I want to write early this morning. I get that. And planning is very important because it eliminates any anxieties about, you know, what ifs, you know, and makes me feel on solid ground. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I relate to a lot of that.
I was in my career, I was a registered nurse and I worked in an ER. And some people are very surprised by that since I have a fear type. And yet it's like opening to knowing that I know everything I need to know to handle whatever comes in. And it's exciting. And yeah. And with as much success as I would have, it was like a pleasure to, it was like going to work to play. And I would find that when the emergency was there, sixes are the ones you want around because they move into action. And this action just sort of moves very quickly. You can lead people, you can say, do this, do that. And it's just kind of interesting.
Yes. I have a similar background. I worked in hospitals for 20 years as a medical social worker. And and, you know, neurointensive care unit. And when there was a crisis, you know, the staff would say, Gigi's coming. And and I'd come, everybody's flittering around, and I'd come, and it's like, okay, all right, here's what we do. You're going to do this. You're going to take care of that. I'm going to handle this. You go over here. I'll go over there. And, you know, it just seems like that energy, there's something about a six, I think, that can handle and contain that kind of energy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So I'm glad you spoke to that, because I think when oftentimes sixes are perceived from one stance or the other, this phobic or this counterphobic stance, this idea of either backing away from danger or fear or plunging through it. And most type sixes have the ability to navigate and the capacity to navigate both directions. But one of the things that, as an outsider who doesn't have a ton of six energy, is fascinated by is that, you know, preparing for danger, and then when danger finally shows up, there's this calm. There's this absolute calm. It's almost like in the pandemic, I think you guys have been preparing for this your entire life, for something like this to show up and happen. It's like the preparedness is so interesting in how it creates a sense of calm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just makes sense to you. It doesn't make sense to me, yeah, but I get it. I mean, I watch it. I watch it, and I'm fascinated by it. Yeah. In fact, thinking about those kinds of things for other types could elevate the situation where it can't calm down. And I just have such a deep appreciation of the fact that that's not the situation here. Mm-hmm. So any last words before we go to our next break about the phobic and counterphobic stance of move backing away from fear or plunging into it?
My awareness is that most sixes have a preference for the first one they use, but then can move into the second one as well, as required by the situation. I took scuba diving lessons years ago in a pool in Dayton, Ohio, and went for my checkout dive in the Keys of Florida. And I went out in this little boat, not a little boat, but it wasn't a, you know, it was a boat that was for fishing and stuff. And, but this captain took us out, and the others were seasoned scuba divers. And so I found my panic levels just rising with the thought of encountering a hammerhead shark or barracuda. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the bugaboos that you might think about. And I finally, we got to the place that we were there, and I was the first one overboard. I had to break that energy by just meeting it, by confronting it. And of course, I got into the water and panicked and lost the regulator. All I had to do is put it in my mouth and I would have been fine. My mask went down. And at that point, it was only like 30 feet deep. So it wasn't, you know, they could retrieve it and everything. Oh, it was just something else. But I like snorkeling now.
Yeah. So meeting that energy, it's like meeting it. So the maybe one of the ways of understanding the dynamics is meeting the fear. It's a place and a way of meeting the fear, mm-hmm, and engaging with the fear. Just something very helpful for those of us who are not experiencing that innate, strong type six energy to just understand better. Yeah. Well, thank you. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the assets of the type and some of the challenges of the type. And I thank you again, listeners and viewers. My name is Renee Siegel. This is Enneagram Conversations. If you'd like to know more about me or my work, you can find it out at www.urpurepotential.com. That is www.urpurepotential.com. Look forward to joining us again after break. Thank you.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Welcome back to Enneagram Conversations. We are going to dive into more information about the type six, the loyal skeptic or the loyalist. I don't even think we started by sharing those names that we use for the type six. Today, my lovely guests are Mira Barbara Rossman and Gigi Vissay, both who identify as a type six. We're going to talk now about some of the assets of being a six, things that you really believe work well for you, that you really claim as your gifts and embrace as you've learned about other types and ways that other types may not have these same gifts and assets. So who'd like to kick us off?
Go for it, Gigi.
Okay, I'll go for it. I'll push through my fear first. Then you can push through yours.
Yes.
When I first heard this question, the first thing that popped into my mind was what I like best is my seven wing. You know, that I can get out of myself a little bit and have that sense of lightness and adventure. But more so that with some other types, like the seven, that I can create some kind of balance. I like that I can be level-headed and that as I make decisions or look at opportunities or, where another type might just push forward and I want to pause and ask a lot of questions, collect a lot of information and make sure it's going to be safe and that it's going to be emotionally comfortable. So I do like that. And I like that I can plan and organize and I I actually enjoy those things, but it does give me a sense of grounding to be that type of person. Also that I can push through some of my fears, and doing so has helped me accomplish a lot of wonderful things in my life, in relationships, professionally, and experience things that maybe I would not have if I let that fear get the best of me or controlled me. So, and I guess lastly, what I like about being a six is just my loyalty, in that I feel very blessed to have drawn a lot of wonderful people to my, what I call my family. That I know that they are there for me for support, and they know that I am there for them as well. So it's made my life very rich.
Great. Well, I love that connection to loyalty too. I have groups of friends. I found out I'm a social subtype. And so I have groups of friends that throughout my whole life, I still talk to classmates from my nursing school from 1961. And so we have Zoom meetings together. I think another thing I like is troubleshooting. I was one of nine women who gathered to form the Arizona Enneagram Association. And when we did that, we had almost one of every type. We did have a combination. I think there were, if I remember right, there were two twos. And yet we had someone from every other type. And I found that my ability to go into the future, so to speak, to see what, if we did this, what would happen, what might be the possible consequences of it, and bringing them up sometimes drive people crazy, because I can think of a lot of things. But at the same time, there's a sense of offer, you know, that I have something of value to offer, that's something that other people may not see. If I am editing something, very often I'll spot the typos or something that isn't really clear. And so I can look for that too, because I want everybody to understand what is being said here or planned here or whatever. And I love the scanning. The scanning allows me to know a lot about a person. And I have grown to trust my intuition. And in fact, when I have something intuitive come through me, I really have no doubt. And I know the difference so well, because doubt follows most everything I think of. And I think those are the things that are important for me. I also can be a group follower, as well as if leadership is needed, I can move into that very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to second something that you said, Mara, because we've both been a part of the Arizona Enneagram Association. And although I wasn't one of the founding people, I was the first person to join the board that wasn't part of the founding group. And as we had several iterations of that board turn over, we lost our sixes on the board. And one of the things that shifted and changed and was paramount and came up as a problem was that in our events, when we were doing our events and kind of recapping the events and looking at things that might have gone better, we realized that we had, without having a six or six energy on the board, that we were missing that anticipation of what could potentially go wrong, plan for that. And so one of the things that was offered by one of our, I think, mutual teachers, which was David Daniels, bless him, who was a six as well. He said, well, one of you who has either a six wing or aligned to six, I want you to just go to the board meetings as if you were a six. And let's see if this eradicates some of the problems with your event planning. And you wouldn't believe it. It's exactly what happened. You know, that one of the people who is, I think we had an extra type three on the board at the time, or somebody who had aligned to six from a nine. I can't remember who it was exactly, but their role was to play a six on the board. And sure enough, the next events that were carried out with that six energy coming into our experience for event planning, and our events went off. They weren't perfect, but there were so many less problems.
Right.
Because they were anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And as a therapist, I also appreciate sixes who come in to talk because they always have a list and they're so organized about what they want to do when they come into session. They're in some ways the easiest client for me to have a sense of developing treatment plans and goals with, because they're pretty clear about what they want to get done with, and lists, literally, you know, physical lists. And I don't know if that's in your experience, Gigi, or not. But
Oh, yes. I am a huge list maker. I feel empty if I don't have a list going, you know, and it's great joy to, first empty some of that out of my head because I'm always thinking so much. And then, you know, then I get a second gift from it when I get to cross it off.
Yes. And, yes, exactly.
That sense of accomplishment and, all right, I'm a mover and a shaker. I'm getting things done here. So,
yeah. The organizational capacity and the ability to sort things out and the ability to discern, you know, these are things that we've been talking around, but they're really amazing, beautiful assets of our type. And when we return, we're going to talk about some of the challenges as well as what you would really love for people to know about you that might make it easier for them to get along with you or be with you or understand you. And then we want to leave a few minutes because we have some events that are happening in each of your lives that you might want to share with our listeners and viewers. So stay tuned. I am Renee Siegel. I'm so excited to have you with me today on Enneagram Conversations, and we will be right back.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the nine freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Are you curious about who the Holy Spirit is, or whether or not the Holy Spirit is real, and even more so, how to connect with an invisible God on a deeper level? Join me, Dr. Lisa Kohut, on Making the Holy Spirit Famous every second and fourth Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Central Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to begin that relationship, to begin to deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. To work with me, go to HolySpiritCoach.com. See you soon.
Do you ever wonder why you were put here on this earth? What your soul is being called to do? What brings you the greatest satisfaction? Tune in to the Personal Wisdom Show with Nita Johnson on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where she will help you learn to really lean in and trust the wisdom and power within you, creating a success you never thought possible. If you want to grow this wisdom inside you and understand your life purpose, visit PersonalWisdomCoachingNow.com.
Burnout can feel like a heavy cloud hanging over everything you do. If you're tired of being tired, be true to yourself and take action today. The Burn Bright Way. I, Jennifer Marcinelli, focus on providing energy solutions that manifest practical, real-life results. So what are you waiting for? Tune in to Burn Bright Today, Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information on how to heal from burnout, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Welcome back to Enneagram Conversations. We're going to dive right into the challenges of a type six and move on from there. So what are some of the challenges in being a type six?
I think for me, one of the biggest is trust. And it looks inside like it's trust of external to me, you know, trust of those who I am in relationship with, trust in the weather, trust in a lot of things, you know, that I really can't control. And what I've learned is that it is trust in myself. It's that trust that, and it's basic trust that is sort of lost or missing or doesn't feel like it's always there. And so I will tend to try to ensure that something's much more predictable so that I don't have to worry about it. As a six, periodically, I may need reassurance. I've been married for almost 57 years to my husband, and I still like to know if he still loves me. You know, it's every once in a while, it just appears. And it's like, okay, I'm, you know, got to ask him about that. So there's that. And also the shadow that I spoke of, I feel like I can talk about it because it really is something that just didn't, I never knew that when someone offers a idea, what happens in me seems to be that I get this cascade of other ideas. My thought is their idea is very good, but then there's all these others. And I think, okay, these are the other options and I really need to explore them with this person. And so rather than saying, I think that's a good idea, and I've also thought about these things, telling somebody what's going on in my head, I usually don't. And what it sounds like to some people is that I'm saying no to their idea because I offer all these other things instead. And I'm just shocked by that because that was never my intention. In fact, I thought inside that that was a very good idea. It's just that I didn't consider relating that to that person. And those people will tell me, you say no to things all the time. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. No.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things you just did, Mira, was not just share, you know, the challenges of the type, but also the maybe give us a little sneak preview into the solution to that dilemma. You know, so somebody might do what when they're offering an idea, or how might you work that through that a little differently? I mean, how'd that play out where you can understand people and people can understand you better?
That would be just to repeat my feelings about theirs. You know, if I didn't like it, I could tell them that. But rather than feeling that that's a really good idea inside and not relating that to the person before I cascade them with my ideas, I think that that's where the communication gets interrupted. And the other person is doing their thing. So if they're invested in offering me ideas and I seem to be rejecting them, there's going to be a sense of, well, you don't want to hear what I have to say anyway. So,
yeah, Yeah, very well done. Yeah. How about you, Gigi?
Well, I can really relate to what you were saying, Mira, about unpredictability. That is definitely a challenge for me. I like to know what's going on, and I want to know what time it's going to go on and how many people are going to be there and what's going to be required of me. And it creates some stress for me. It creates some anxieties. I think the challenge of just being more fear-based about things can sometimes really stand in my way of getting things done or doing things that may be really good for me or good for other people. So, and all of that seems to take a lot of energy sometimes. Yes. So I get really drained at periods of time, especially if I'm not feeling like I'm on track about where I feel I should be and what I should be putting my time and energies into. Mm-hmm. I get really exhausted physically, mentally, and emotionally. Yeah. So I have to remind myself to care for myself. Mm-hmm. And the challenge of, you know, I think that my brain rarely turns off. So it's a blessing that I have, like you were talking about, great ideas. I've got one every week. So what am I going to do with it? And then this part of the challenge is once I arrive at a good idea, I feel like I have to be committed to carry it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it creates, again, kind of that pressure and can be stressful. And in that fear, I can get into a place where I'm not able to take action. So mm-hmm. But I just really get stuck.
Paralyzed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that energy is a huge energy, but what I've learned is that it feeds the mind, which just can get us into so much anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so by doing the meditations that take it down to the energy into my belly or into my feet, the farthest away I can get from my head is the best. Mm-hmm. Because they're in that energy is good and can drive a lot of really good things, but it as fear with all of our, that's another thing about the six, is that we have wonderful imaginations. We're very visual. And I think that it allows us to see a lot of possibilities, but it allows us to conjure up all sorts of danger.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to have to wind down soon, and I want to leave you each an opportunity. I know Gigi has just launched an amazing book, and I want to give you each an opportunity to talk about what you have going on in your professional lives or what you'd like to share with people about how they can reach you. So, Gigi, would you like to talk about your book?
Sure, I'd love to talk about my book. This is one of those long time coming projects that I pushed through and completed. It is about grief and loss, which I have spent pretty my entire career working with grief and loss. The name of the book is Me After You, Surviving the Loss of a Loved One. And it is more than just some information about grief. It gives a perspective and helps normalize what people experience when they're grieving. But how goes beyond that to say how grief permeates so many areas and affects so many things in our lives. And then the second part of the book and the most exciting part of the book for me is the 5 written expressions of grief, which is a therapeutic process I've developed over the last 20 plus years, that is a healing process for anyone who is looking to be in their experience of grief and find their way through to healing from being stuck or feeling unresolved or overwhelmed by the complications of a loss.
Great. So, and how can people find your book? And then we're going to ask Mira what she has going on.
You can find the book on Amazon. And I will be at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe on November 9th for an event, for a live event. So
that's wonderful. And the book is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mira.
Yes. As I said, my husband and I have an institute for inner growth. And through that, I offer monthly dream groups. And as I had mentioned before, dream interpretation is one of my passions. And so that is offered on via Zoom once a month, second Monday morning of the month. And as I have entered my 80s, I'm going to be, I find that everything is slowing down. I do some coaching one-on-one and enjoy that through using the Enneagram, Enneagram type, the dream interpretation, and the wisdom that has come through the spiritual teachings that I've been involved in.
I want to thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. I am Renee Siegel, your host. Thank you so much for this rich and wonderful conversation. Thank you for joining Enneagram Conversations, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Enneagram Conversations. Renee is on a mission to guide people towards cultivating inner observation, which assists with self-awareness and expansion. Identify your type, notice your patterns, and learn how to unlock the higher aspects of your Enneagram type. There is limitless potential inside you already, just waiting to be unveiled. Join Renee next time on this journey of self-discovery and create more purpose and power in your life. For more information about Renee and her work, visit youarepurepotential.com. That's the letter U, the letter R, purepotential.com. Until next time, remember, you are pure potential.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.